اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبالآخرة هم يوقنون صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choiceless blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us, and we ask Allah ta'ala to continuously shower His blessings on us, not to deny us and deprive us of any of His blessings, those we know and those that we don't know. And we also ask Allah ta'ala to have mercy on us and not taking away the blessings from us on account of our own heedlessness, non-appreciation and ingratitude. By making shukr, inshallah, all the blessings will be secured and also will be increased. Respected friends and brothers, just before we proceed, last week, alhamdulillah, we had a bayan on the excellence of Jummah. Is that correct? Excellence of Jummah. But when a person walks on the next Friday into the masjid, he finds there's so much of talking taking place right from the entrance, in the hall. Yeah. And while the adhan is going on, if we have no respect for our Jummah day, and if we have no respect for the time of Jummah and for the time of adhan, then we have to really look seriously into our hearts and ask ourselves, what respect have you got for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we appeal to the brothers that please, if you come early or late, try not to be a disturbance. And more importantly, don't show disrespect to the time of Jumu'ah. May Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshaAllah. Respected friends and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen a path for each one of us to follow. And for that, He has sent down the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And that is the path of guidance, the path that will lead into Jannah. And what does this path entail? It entails obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abstaining from His disobedience. It entails fulfilling the rights due to Allah and to human beings in the manner that we show kindness to them, we show compassion to them, we are helpful to them, whatever it might be. And we abstain from hurting, harming, doing them down, doing all wrong things, making ghibat about them. So a whole lot of things put together will then entail the proper path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At any given time, we are on this path or we are on an alternate path. If we are on the path that is leading to Allah, doing all that what is correct, that what has been taught by Allah ta'ala, then alhamdulillah, we are on the straight path. Or we are on the other path where we are disobeying Allah and we are doing mankind down, we are doing all the wrong things. Now, the question that arises, what is it that will drive us and motivate us and keep us on the path and let us realize the destination that we have to reach, my respected friends and brothers? What will be the driving force? Like we just started the talk by saying that every Friday there is noise in the masjid. Do we have to be told about this every Friday, that don't make noise in the masjid? What is it that will instill in our heart the greatness and the importance and the respect of the day of Jummah, the time of Jummah, and the greatness of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So man needs some kind of motivation, some kind of a driving force that will make him aware at all times on which path he is. And that covers every aspect of his life, my respected friends and brothers. And that is accountability. As long as a person has got the concept of accountability in his mind, that I have to answer, I am going to have to give a reckoning, I am going to be taken to task, I am going to be weighed. And then, my respected friends and brothers, that will make him very conscious of how he leads his life. And for that we find that when Allah Ta'ala sent down the prophets, all the prophets that came with different teachings, and their mission had lots of beautiful aspects, but some differed from the others. But there were three common denominators in the mission of every Nabi. One was belief in the oneness of Allah, one was belief in the prophethood, and one was belief in the Akhirah. Belief in the Akhirah is that motivation, and it is that force that will make a person accountable, that I have to stand up and give jawab, I have to give an answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. And that is such a revolutionary, such a powerful phenomena, such a powerful driving force, that if we have to look at the missions and the success of the missions of all the Anbiya, especially Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then even the Western scholars are mind-boggled. They say, but what was it that made Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam turn around such a uncivilized band of people, such a brutal and barbaric nation, into such people that wherever they went, people welcomed them with open arms? So my respected friends and brothers, this revolutionary belief is that of the Akhirah. That is why right on the very first page of the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِالْ آخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ, that these people, the people of taqwa, the people who are looking for the truth, the people who want to be on the straight path, they have got conviction. They believe with conviction on the Akhirat. And that, my respected friends and brothers, is what we are supposed to ask ourselves as to how, what is the degree of Akhirah that is in our hearts. How much do we keep it in front of us? And every action, how often do we ask, am I on the right road? When a person is traveling somewhere and he needs to get somewhere and he doesn't know the way, he'll be all the time worried that, is this the road? Is this the road? I mustn't get lost. These places, these landmarks look very strange to me. And the life, he's got his GPS nowadays, or he's got whatever, Google Maps and that. Then he'll have some kind of, you know, contentment in his heart. No, I am on the right road. Or if somebody tells me on the right road, it will give him satisfaction. So that is what we are supposed to have in as far as our akhirat is concerned, my respected friends and brothers. So whatever action we might be carrying out, whatever deed we are doing, we are supposed to ask ourselves, am I on the right road? And the goal and the final destination that I am aiming for, which I am going to go to, am I really going to reach that destination correctly? So we're not talking about punishment, and we're not talking about reward here. That is one of the two things. We are talking of the fact that there is a destination known as Akhirah, which we are going to reach, my respected friends and brothers. And if that is in front of us at any given time, then inshallah, we will definitely be on the straight path, and we will have what is called a taqwa, and we'll be all the time conscious about where we are going. Now, if a person just makes this dunya, you know, his entire object and goal, if he thinks the enjoyment of this world is the be-all and end-all of his life, and even if he thinks that the pain and the difficulty of this world is where it is all about, and in this way, this person has got absolutely no distinction between wrong and right, halal and haram, clean and napak, then such a person, he will not care how he leads his life. He will not care how he deals with other people. He will not worry as to how he has acquired whatever he has acquired. Because he, as far as he is concerned, this is where it is. This is the life. Live it. Enjoy it. Just do it. And you live once only. And that is it. You live once only. But then there's akhirat thereafter, my respected friends and brothers. So this was that belief which the Anbiya alayhimus salam, as well as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brought. And we need to just check ourselves that how often do I keep the akhirat in front of me when I'm doing whatever I am doing. So my respected brothers, we find the Quran makes mention. Some people, they disregard, totally discard the belief of resurrection, for example. They used to question Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is, أَيْذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَإِظَامًا أَيْنَا لَمَبْعُوثٌ. Are you telling us that after we are reduced, you know, our bones and our flesh, and we are reduced to sand, and that is the fact of the matter. We are reduced to sand. We bury somebody in a qabr, after a few years you dig up, and that we encourage you while we are at that again. The recycling of the qabr is an important thing. A lot of towns are doing it. Let us keep that also in mind, my respected brothers. Just in the recent past, I went to two qabrs, two funerals, and one lady was buried in her grandfather's qabr, and another child was buried in his uncle's qabr. So, when they dug up the qabr, there was nothing there. So we must think about that also in that way. But that's a different discussion. But it's something good to do also. Coming back, my respected friends and brothers, that these people used to question Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you telling us that when we die and we are reduced to sand, then we're going to be resurrected again? In adha illa satirul awwalin. These are all old ancient stories you're telling us. Nothing like that happens. How can it ever be possible? So if a person thinks that this is where his life ends, his physical life, then he will not have any vision, he will not have any ambition, he will not have any goal to set in as far as akhirat is concerned. And such a person, my brothers, he can be a very, very great problem to himself and to those around him. So one is the akhirat. The other thing, obviously, is the conscience of a person that can drive him also. You know, his conscience troubles him. There are some good people out there. Their conscience, I can't do this. This is wrong. I can't harm somebody. This is not the right way. I can't say this. I can't speak that, whatever it might be. So that is one thing that can drive a person. But that is not good enough. And if the aspect of akhirat is not in front of us, then we will lead what we call a lawless life. Or a life that we make our own laws and our own rules. We will decide how, who and what. How we can do whatever we want to do to whomsoever and in whichever way we want to do it. It is going to be our law, it is going to be our rule. So there will be a lawless life. That is why when there is the aspect of akhirat in front of us, then a person will adhere to the laws. Now the adherence to these laws, my brothers, you know, we have laws in this world also. Lots of laws, rules, regulations and so forth. So many times, you know, we are told now this is 120, the speed limit. And we move it, we go past. And other places where we have to declare certain things, and we lie our way through. And other places we have to give an oath or say something, and we get out of it some way or the other. But where there is this issue of, I'm being watched, that's why we find our group also, any traps in front. Why we ask that? So we know there are any traps in front, and we know we have to be careful. We don't want to be caught. Or if there are surveillance cameras, we are very, very careful with regard to our behavior. Or if we are in some kind of a business and we know that we are going to be checked properly by the revenue or whoever else it might be, they're going to come for us. We'll be very meticulous in the manner that we do things. One fellow, our friend, we know him. He's like a top guy in the revenue in the SARS. And he got married in a family. His in-laws are terrified of him. Say, this guy mustn't know about us. He must not know what we own because he works for revenue. You know what he can do to us. So you can see the fear that people have with regard to if they are being told or checked on or if they can be spied upon or whatever it might be. So my respected friends and brothers, these mechanisms, which you can say are the state mechanisms, policing and surveillancing, they have got a certain amount of effectiveness. But it is not good enough. Because we have ways and means to overcome them and bypass them and dodge them. And how the criminals get away, they always are two steps ahead of us. So these are things that are not good enough. What is needed, my respected friends and brothers, is nobility and maturity and most importantly the consciousness that never mind who is watching and who is not watching. I have to answer in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to obey the laws and the commands of Allah ta'ala. I have every opportunity to do anybody down. I can do whatever I want to. I know all the tricks in the book. I'm an experienced scammer. But I fear my Allah. And most importantly, I'm going to have to stand up. So that is the belief of akhirat, which every one of us, my respected friends and brothers, have got knowledge of. Now what is important is, having knowledge of it is not good enough. Believing also is not good enough. We all know. I know I'm going to die one day. I've been told in a madrasa. Then after that, it'll be qabr and there'll be this and that. I know. And I also believe in it. It's part of my iman. But my respected friends and brothers, Allah Ta'ala does not speak about knowing. And also He does not say about believing. He speaks about yuqinun. Having full conviction that definitely there is going to be a day when you have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So knowing is just not good enough. Make sure that it has been inculcated deeply and rooted, embedded in our hearts that I have to answer to Allah. So if that is there, then a person will be very careful in as far as how he conducts himself. And we find that in the Quran, this aspect of akhirat, what is another way of saying it? It is meeting your Rabb. You're going to meet Allah Ta'ala. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. You are striving and toiling towards your Rabb, and you're going to meet Him. So the thought of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to instill the awe and the greatness of that meeting. I have to be very, very careful. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. Verily, those people who do not have any hope of meeting us, that means they don't believe in meeting us. وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And they are happy with the life of this world. وَطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا. And they are totally satisfied with it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. And they are totally heedless of our signs. So Allah speaks about those people who are totally heedless, totally neglectful, who have no idea, and who don't care where their destination is. There is a thing called Akhirat, where they're going to have to go meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says such people are so involved. وَفَرِحُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They are happy and satisfied with the life of this world. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَعُ. Allah says, whereas the life of this world compared, this is such a hard-hitting verse, the life of this world compared to the Akhirah is but a short enjoyment. إِلَّا مَتَعُ. A short enjoyment. So if this is what is being told to us in the Quran, then we will be wise to ensure that the destination in front of us and the Akhirah that we have to definitely face one day is going to be our reckoning and our accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala in the Quran in various places, we can't go into all the verses, but he makes mention of, you know, يُوقِنُونَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ يُوقِنُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. Those people who establish salah. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. And they give zakat. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And they have got full conviction in the Akhirat. So when the time for salah comes, if a person got full conviction, if it is inculcated and imbibed in him, then he's not going to sit back and wait and say, just now, later on, never mind, I'm only a two-timer, I already Maghrib and Isha, or I'm only a one-weeker, I only go for Jummah Salah. He'll make sure, because the conviction of standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not keep him so rested. He'll make an effort to do something about it. The same with his zakat. My respected friends and brothers. Then we look at the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Repeatedly, you'll find when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about fulfilling the rights of human beings, and there we fail big time. People don't care about how they deal and what they do with human beings. They're so involved in so in their own selfish lifestyles. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyukrim dhayfahu." Whoever believes in Allah in the last day. He has brought the concept of Akhirat before he said what you must do. Such a person will honor his guest. Honor his guest. It is such a great thing in the Sharia and in the Deen to honor your guest who comes to you, to provide for him, to make him rested, to even let him stay over up to 3 days. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَحْسِنْ إِلَىٰ جَارِهِ. Whoever believes in the last day, in Allah in the last day, Akhirat, he will be kind to his neighbor. This aspect of neighbor, inshallah, will put separate light on it as a topic on its own, because it is something that has been lost. The rights of neighbors are being totally neglected. People don't care, they don't know, they do not fulfill it, and they just take it for granted. The guy living next to me is my neighbor, and that's about it. There are so many things that are mentioned with regard to the rights of the neighbor. Likewise, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا. Who believes in Allah in the last day, Akhirat, he will speak that what is good, or he will keep quiet. فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. And this tongue, my respected friends and brothers, it flies. We just say what we want to. We use any kind of language. We run anybody down. We gossip. We make ghibat. We pass remarks. We think we know everything about everything. So we'll just, you know, condemn and discard and carry on whatever we want to. Rather keep quiet. So these things, these three actions, just by example we've mentioned, a person must be very, very careful. And how he, before he opens, I have to go to the Akhirat. I mean, I have to give answer to Allah Ta'ala. And all the other rights that we have made mention of. So my respected brothers, how do we consolidate and reinforce this particular belief in our hearts? That there is a destination. So one is a very easy one. Any other day, we get funeral notices all the time. We attend funerals. The man was with us. He was talking and enjoying with us. And the next thing, we're burying him. We didn't bury him and leave him there. His ruh has gone forward. And as he was here, we are also here. And he's gone, we are also going to be gone. So there is a clear open eye opener. One is the man is sick, he's old, and it's time for him to go. The Sinai is very old, it's time for him to go. But how often don't we see young people also going away? So that in itself must make us wake up and know that there is a destination, how he's going, I'm also going to be following. Likewise, my respected friends and brothers, Allah in the Quran has very beautifully drawn our attention to take lesson. He says, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Verily the example of this life, كَمَا يَنَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, like water that's come down from the heavens. فَاخْتَلَتَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ, and it has mixed and it has mingled with the vegetation on the earth. فَاخْتَلَتَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ, from which men and animals eat and they enjoy and they consume. حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفُهَا, when the earth is in its full bloom, وَزَيَّنَتْ, and takes it all its adornment, وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا, and the people who own all these worldly things, now whether it's vegetation, whether it's plantation, whether it's a business, whether it's what empire it might be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they are happy with it, and they sing, أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا, we are in charge, we got it all, we got context, you know what I can do, you know who I know, and then in that they get lost and they forget who Allah is, they forget what Allah can do, they forget everything, they just lead their life helter-skelter. Allah says, أَتَّاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا, and then our command comes down on them day or night. How often heaven we see it, Allah protect us. The man was there and he owned everything, after he owned nothing. And Allah says, فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَصِيدًا كَأَنْ لَمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ, we have reduced such people then to straw, you know, straw lying on the ground, as though they were not in existence yesterday. That is the reality. So what Allah Ta'ala is saying, look at the phases, look at the stages of how things are, and know that at the end there is going to be what we call a reckoning, there is going to be akhirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, we'll conclude on this verse, that verily those, the life, example of this life is what? إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It is first of all playing, لَعِبُ وَلَهُ, futile, and beautifying, adornment, competing with each other in wealth and in children. And then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you reach that stage where you are totally nothing. All the race comes to an end. And then Allah says, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, thereafter there is آخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ, if you did not lead your life properly. So this is the constant thing a person must have. There's a woman who used to live somewhere in the jungles, and she owned a cow. And one day it is said the king went past, the sultan went past with his soldiers hunting. And they were encamped nearby. So the soldiers stole the cow, and they slaughtered it and they ate it up. When the lady came to know, she went to complain to the people. They said, no, go tell the king. She says, they're not going to listen to me. He's a mighty king and all his soldiers. They said, no, go and stand on the bridge there that is there when he's passing and tell him this is what has happened. This is what his soldiers have done. So when the king was returning, the lady went and stood on a bridge. It wasn't like this Mandela bridge. It must have been a very thin little bridge. She went there and she stood on it. And when the king came, he got a shock. She says, oh king, your soldiers have slaughtered my one cow and they have destroyed it. Now I want to ask you, do you want to settle a matter here on this bridge, or are you waiting to go to the bridge of Sirat? Full Sirat. You decide. So the king got off, he says, who did it? He gave a remuneration or he gave a recompense. And he said, okay, you can go. So what we are saying is, that is what must be in our mind at all times. Do you want to settle it here, or do you want to go there and top and settle it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us our understanding. Come on, everybody.